Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. It is a cold and rainy February 11th. I am here again today. My name is David Auth, joined again by
Chris Miskey
and Jared. Jared DeLauder is not here today, so filling in for him is our friend
Matt Johnson.
Thanks for coming in, Matt, and filling in. Without further ado, let's get real here, boys. I feel like everyone listening should know what that song is. That's This Is America by Childish Gambino. I played that because over the weekend, Donald Glover, Childish Gambino, won the award for Best Music Video of the Year, which is awesome. If you haven't seen This Is America, the music video, it's really interesting. There's a lot of cool, I guess, like cultural stuff thrown in there, so go and check that out. So let's just jump into the news right away. The first bit of news is actually pretty simple. Jordan Peele released a new poster for his Us movie. Releases on March 22nd. The poster has Lupita Nyong'o, who is the wife in the movie, and she's just, it's like a dead set close-up of her, and she has a big tear rolling down her eye, and then like she's removing like a mask off of her face, but it's a mask of her own face. And that's kind of like what the movie is centered around, is these doppelgangers of this family, you know, these evil doppelgangers coming and trying to murder them. We don't really know too much, but I'm sure there's going to be a whole bunch of twists and turns. The next bit of news is, I think this is 3 or 4 days ago, James Cameron confirmed the title leaks for Avatar. He confirmed that the title leaks were real, but they haven't actually made the final decisions on them. The second one was supposed to be called The Way of Water. Third was supposed to be The Seed Bearer. Fourth was supposed to be The Tolkien Rider. And the last one was supposed to be The Quest for Ewa. We actually talked about this a while back. But, I guess those weren't actually official. So, sorry for ruining that. Chris sent this bit of news in, I think, yesterday about Child's Play.
I think it was yesterday, yeah.
Yeah. So the official Twitter account for the new Child's Play movie tweeted out a trailer for the film. The tweet said, "The wait is over. Your best friend has arrived." From the producers of It, comes Child's Play in theaters June 21st. It took me a while to get out. You guys watched the trailer, right?
Yeah, I did.
I'm getting very, very annoyed by the horror genre recycling movies. I feel like I say that about every single show in some aspect, whether it's Disney or whatever, but I don't know. I guess the take on this Child's Play is like, it's like a robot Chucky doll. I don't know. How would you describe it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a demonic like baby doll that carries around a knife and kills people.
Yeah.
Not really too much substance.
Yeah, Matt, do you see it?
I actually didn't see the trailer.
Okay, cool.
I'm not a fan of horror movies,
hey,
to be honest.
Hey, neither am I. Neither is Chris, but you know.
Big no.
Chris isn't? Wow, didn't know.
Chris hates horror movies. People forget. next one is kind of related, at least in terms of the horror aspect. It's about The Walking Dead. The Hollywood Reporter first reported a few days back that one of the last longtime stars of the show, Danai Gurira, who plays Michonne, is going to be departing the show in season 10. Gurira first joined the show in its third season and has become a central and fan-favorite character. Michonne also remains a major figure in the comic books that inspired the series. When was the last time you guys watched The Walking Dead?
I tried to watch it, I guess it was last semester. I tried to get through it, and I just kind of lost interest. Like, it seems like a lot of, like, same stuff going on, but
yeah,
it hasn't been a while.
It's a pretty wash and dry show, I guess. A new bad guy comes up, they kill the bad guy, they go to a safe space, and then a new bad guy pops up and they kill him.
Yeah, it's not too great.
Yeah, but I know Danai Gurira, Michonne, was like pretty much the last character from the early seasons that, you know, was still alive. I know Andrew Lincoln, Rick, like, left the show. He didn't die, but he's not on it anymore. So I think at this point, she's the last one. Maggie, I forget who, Laura Cohen, I think. she's also not going to be on the show anymore, so they're kind of like losing all their people that were there at the beginning. So doesn't really make sense to me, but you know, best wishes to Nagarira. She was in Avengers. Very, very entertaining movie. Next bit of news is about the Aquaman spinoff. There's been, you know, reports of an Aquaman 2. They haven't actually like announced that yet. But according to The Hollywood Reporter, the studio is developing a movie centered on the Trench. If you've seen the movie, you know who these people are. It's a group of deep sea dwellers who were featured in the original 2018 film. Warner Brothers has tapped Noah Gardner and Aidan Fitzgerald to pen the script. And Peter Safran and Aquaman director James Wan have signed on as producers. According to DC Comics, the Trench were introduced in 2011's Aquaman comic. The creatures used to be normal human-looking Atlantean citizens, but eventually evolved into horrifying animalistic beings falling into the deepest parts of the sea. This movie, Aquaman, was released in 2018, and it's actually the highest-grossing DC film ever. It beat out Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises. The movie has racked in well over $1 billion in the global box office, and it's actually the 22nd highest worldwide grossing movie of all time, which to me is very, very shocking. I like the movie, but, you know, it was under some hot water from a lot of people.
I'm just upset it beat Dark Knight. I love Dark Knight.
I mean, Dark Knight wasn't even the highest grossing film before that. It's Dark Knight Rises and then Dark Knight.
Yeah, and Dark Knight's better.
Yeah. I mean...
Sorry.
Yeah, you're talking to the mic a little bit more. Thank you, Matt.
Last time you said it was too loud.
Yeah, I know, right? Next bit of news is actually kind of something interesting. Did you look through this, Chris?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so I didn't really like know what to think when I first saw the headline about it, but it is really, really interesting. It's about Steven Spielberg getting the rights to a movie that I guess he like got off of Reddit. This is from Variety. Spielberg's Amblin Partners has picked up the movie rights to what's called The Spire in the Woods, author Tony Ladeni's ghost story, which first gained notice on the No Sleep subreddit. Amblin is teaming up with Vertigo Entertainment's Roy Lee and John Berg to adapt the story. The story was actually renamed The Bells. It follows the story of a teen boy who is convinced that his friend's suicide is connected to local supernatural legend. The story, which first appeared as a 10-part series on Reddit in 2013, was published as Lunetti, the original author, as a book in 2017, and the full story remains available on Reddit today. Do you guys ever go on the subreddit No Sleep?
I've been on there a couple times.
Yeah.
I remember whenever this came out, like in 2013, mm-hmm. but I never read the whole way through it just because, I don't know, I just kind of passed through. I didn't get locked in, but I didn't even really give it a chance, so...
Yeah, there's some really, really creepy stuff on there, and, like, really well-written, I guess, like, horror stories, too, if you ever want to... I mean, the subreddit's labeled No Sleep because, you know, it'll creep you out, and you won't sleep because of it, so if you ever get free time, go ahead and read that. Read, you know, some of the other creepy stories on there. I'm actually surprised that this is, like, the first time this has ever happened where they're making a movie out of one of these stories. I feel like there may have been some instances of... I guess TV shows and movies drawing aspects from pieces of Reddit stories. But I think it's really, really cool that Spielberg is doing this. Next bit of news is about the live action Aladdin. I don't know if Chris, you saw the trailer for this, right?
Yeah.
Describe it in one word for me.
At
least the last 5 seconds.
Just one word?
Yes.
Blue.
Okay. Thank you. Perfect. This trailer actually released yesterday, and for the first time, we got to see the genie, who, in my opinion, looks really, 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 really bad. That movie comes out May 24th of 2019. Literally everything in the movie looks, like, really good, aside from the genie, which sucks a lot.
We were talking about this on our way up here.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone else in the film looks very, very close. See, Aladdin's about exactly what you could get. Jasmine looks right.
Yeah.
It's just weird how they... blew up mm-hmm. Will Smith.
Yeah.
It made him so big. And I guess he said, actually, go ahead and talk.
Yeah. So, like, what I was saying was, like, that you see, like, in, like, the cartoon version, he, like, the genie is, like, this huge monstrous figure. Like, they make him huge. Robin Williams is not a huge person. I mean, granted, it's just voices, so it doesn't mm-hmm. translate directly, but. I think they were just trying to go for that, and they didn't do it maybe enough, or just too, like, it's in that weird spot where It's not like horrific, and it's not like just like a normal dude standing there wearing blue paint.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the big blown up proportions. Like what I thought they were going to do is like, in like the live action Jungle Book, they blew up King Louie, making this huge orangutan. Yeah. But I thought they were going to make something that kind of scale, but they chose not to, I suppose.
Yeah. The next bit of news is in regards to the movie Zombieland. Please tell me you guys have seen the original Zombieland before.
Big Zombieland.
I've seen it several times. Yes.
So this movie, like Zombieland 2, has been being worked on for a while now. They've been doing like set photos, and all the original actors are coming back for it. But a new actor that's joining the Sony Picture movie is Thomas Middleditch. He's from Silicon Valley. He's going to be starring alongside Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, and Abigail Breslin in Zombieland 2. As previously reported as well, Zoe Dutch and Rosario Dawson are also boarding the cast. Rosario Dawson, if you guys have seen any of like the Marvel Netflix shows, she's Claire in all of those. Zombieland 2, this is the synopsis for it, is supposed to be set in a world in which zombie slayers must face off against many new kinds of zombies that have evolved since the first movie, as well as new human survivors. I don't have a release date for that, but I love Thomas Middleditch. I don't know what role he's playing in this movie, but I think it's going to be fun to watch. Have you guys watched Silicon Valley?
I have not.
I've seen a couple episodes. Okay. Not really watched through it.
He does those Verizon commercials,
mm-hmm.
if you know. He has like an annoying kind of character in every like role that he plays, but I think he's a pretty good actor. I'm excited to see that.
How long ago did that movie come out?
I want to say 2004.
I'm just trying to think because it was
2009. Oh wow, that was a lot more recent than I thought.
Emma Stone's little sister was like, you know, a little girl then. I'm just
imagining what she's supposed to look like now, grown up now. Up next is actually not really news. It's more of just like a talking about a rumor. So earlier today, there's this digital artist that does a lot of digital art of like what actors would look like portraying certain superheroes. His name is Boss Logic. If you've never heard of him, go check out his stuff. It's really cool. But he released art today of what Daniel Radcliffe would look like as Wolverine. Now that Wolverine is going to enter the Marvel Universe, he has to be recast because, unfortunately, Hugh Jackman is too old. And there's rumors actually swirling around that Radcliffe is going to be taking on that role. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
He's Harry Potter.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I feel like they could find somebody else because he's one of those people, like, there's only a few actors where, like, they only have one role, and then every time you see him in something, I think Steve Carell kind of fits that same niche. Just, I hear his voice, and I think Michael Scott, but that's, like, I don't know.
It was an 8-part movie where he was just Harry Potter. The only reason it worked in some other movies was like Now You See Me, where he was in a magic movie, so it kind of made sense. But him as like a superhero,
I don't know. I think he could. Honestly, I'm not saying I'm pull it for off, it, but I definitely think he would be good in this role.
I think he could definitely. I'm not saying he's not a good actor. I just think they could find a different person for it. And
I mean, the concept art looks really cool.
Yeah, it does. And so it's like him with this really gruff beard, and he's holding up the adamantium claws, and then he has scratches on his face, so you can like see his like it's a metal skeleton that Wolverine has, and the one skeleton on his forehead is actually the lightning bolt. It's kind of like a reference to Harry Potter. It's really cool. If you know, obviously we're talking about an image, so if you want to feel, you know, more like related to us, just go look at it. But I love the art. I actually think he'd be really cool in the role. But I think another actor that would be interesting and, like, honestly, maybe better fit for it is Tom Hardy from Dark Knight Rises. And I'm trying to think.
He's in Venom. That's the only thing is another character in the MCU. So it'd be.
Yeah, well, no, because the Venom movie isn't in the same universe as the Marvel universe. They probably wouldn't do
Marvel.
It.
It's still like I understand there's the technicalities between the different universes, but I still feel like they wouldn't cast him to play like two roles.
Yeah, probably.
Like,
I think
they'd probably wait for like the franchise to end before they would cast him. It's kind of like how they had Chris Evans play the Human Torch.
Yeah,
and then he could now the Fantastic Four franchise ended, so it was comfortable to make him Captain America.
Yeah, I think he'd be good, but. Yeah, obviously, like you said, he's already Venom, so probably not going to happen. next bit of news is about BBC Earth. Chris sent this in today, and I am really, really, really excited for it. So today, BBC Earth announced their upcoming projects, which are Perfect Planet, Frozen Planet 2, Green Planet, and, drumroll please, Planet Earth 3. That's right. The amazing nature documentaries are coming back, Planet Earth 3. I don't even know what to say. These documentaries always blew my mind. Like, even as a kid, I think it was the first thing I ever, like, when I discovered what Blu-ray discs were, it was Planet Earth 1 in a Costco, and I, like, begged my mom to buy it for me. And I think I probably watched Planet Earth 1, like, all those discs at least 100 times. They're just so, like, cinematically well put together, and the storytelling in it is incredible, too. Same thing with Planet Earth 2 and, like, pretty much everything BBC does. The one thing that they aren't certain about for Planet Earth 3 and all these other new projects is...
Yeah, I saw you said that David Attenborough might not come. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was reading a tweet, like, right now.
Yeah.
And for the One Planet, Seven Worlds, like, that one, did you read all, like, those tweets that had, like, little synopses about them all?
No.
Okay, so One Planet, Seven Worlds is a brand new, ambitious landmark series presented by David Attenborough. By telling unknown, unseen, and unexpected wildlife stories, we will uncover the fundamental truth about what makes each one of our seven continents unique.
Okay.
So that he's at least doing that one.
Yeah.
Planet Earth 3, I don't know.
But yeah, Planet Earth 3 is supposed to come out in 2022. So we've got just a little bit to wait. And David Attenborough is like in his mid-90s, so...
It'd be tough.
Wouldn't blame him if he never came back to the narrating studio, but... I think he makes all those series so much more interesting. I love talking about, like, as I'm watching them too, the way they string the stories together. Like, so they'll tell a story about, like, a fox trying to catch a rabbit, and it's this, like, 10-minute long narrative story, and it seems like it's a real thing, but in reality, the camera crew's there for, you know, I don't even know how long, like, months maybe,
yeah,
filming
months on end.
This certain fox, and they'll get all this, like, footage from it, and, you know, from this month-long, you know, stalking of a fox, they'll string all this footage together and kind of write a story and make it seem like this is something that they actually that actually happened and they filmed, like, completely in one sequence. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, a fox doesn't eat a rabbit, but it doesn't happen in the exact way that they say. So the way that they're able to string that narrative together in all of these documentaries just blows my mind every single time. So for the segment that I wanted to do today, we have a short show today, a little busy, but, and not a lot of news. So the segment that I wanted to do today for And the Nominees Are is the most memorable scene from Planet Earth or, like, any BBC documentary. Again, I think some of the narratives that they have are really, really awesome. I'll go first. My favorite story, or I guess my, like, favorite scene is the one where the iguana is escaping the snakes.
I was going to talk about that one.
About that one, too.
Yeah, sorry. And this little dude is just sprinting away from these snakes, and he gets, like, swallowed up, like, four or five times, and there's, like, 10 snakes all, like, wrapping around him, and he just, like, keeps chugging on and chugging on. I'll go again. I don't know if I'm going to... No, do you have one?
I do.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so this one's a little bit more humorous, but there's the one... I think it's in Planet Earth 2. But it's they show the bears and they're, like, scratching their backs in the tree and they play Jungle Boogie in the background.
Yeah.
That scene always gets me.
Matt, you have one? You want me to stall?
Stall for me.
Another one that is, it's, like, part heartbreaking, part, like, disgusting and just outright weird is the one with the male penguin. I don't know what island they're on. The male penguin, like, comes back to his den and his wife penguin is booed up with, like, another male penguin. And these two male penguins just start fighting, and, like, they're bleeding profusely. These, like, cute little penguins are, like, all bloodied up and gnarled. And the male penguin who got cheated on, like, ends up losing, and he has to, like, walk away. And it's really sad. Kind of heartbreaking and a weird sequence, but it's definitely one of the ones that I remember most from Planet Earth 2.
I don't know. I always keep coming back to the polar bears. I love watching the polar bears.
Yeah. They're I do. Whenever they come out of their dens, the little polar bear babies, I do love
it. It's adorable.
Any other final closing thoughts? I know today was short, but anything we missed? Anything you guys think we missed?
Oh, I did read, so the one Planet Seven Continents, that one.
Oh, yeah.
That comes out later this year.
Oh.
Actually, so.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, so that's something to look forward to, fans.
Yeah, we don't normally talk about documentaries, at least we haven't so far, aside from the Ted Bundy tapes, which I don't want to get Chris triggered right now.
Get
but
riled up again.
Yeah, I think as we hear more about the BBC Earth documentaries, we'll keep talking about them just because they make me cry because they're so beautiful. But that's it for today. I wanted to close. This is my final thought. My final, I guess, not really thought. It's news, technically. But Oreo, if you may not have heard, Oreo the raccoon, who was the real-life model for Rocket from Guardians of the Galaxy, has sadly, very, very sadly, passed away. Rocket, Oreo, we send you off today with the words of Sarah McLachlan. Thank you for getting real with us today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next month. I'm your silent reverie. You're in the arms of the angel. May you find some comfort here. So tired of the straight line, and everywhere you turn, there's vultures and thieves at your back. The storm keeps on twisting, keep on building the lies that you make up for all that you lack. It don't make no sweet madness, all this glorious sadness that brings me to my knees in the arms of the angel. Fly away from here, from this star. Come through.